The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Ger Gilroy from Off the Ball with me now. Ger, are you looking forward to the match?
Ah, yeah. This is one of those where all the neutrals get to be enthralled by it. There are no tickets on general sale this year, I think you'll notice. That's only when Kilkenny are in finals, obviously, where you're like, ah, sure, it's given out in the change, the medals, you know, all the, we know the...
We're not even there and you're having a go.
My opportunity.
It's just sad, is what it is. When was the last year that there wasn't a Kilkenny, Limerick, Dublin or Kerry in an All-Ireland?
I wish you'd tip me off in advance for these questions so I'd be able to actually come up with the correct answer.
I only know the answer because I Googled it this morning because we were talking about it, a bunch of us.
Is it long ago?
It's long ago. It's 2001.
Right.
2001, because it was Galway Meath and Tip Galway, wasn't it? Tip Galway. Galway were in...
So no Cork Kilkenny.
No Cork or Kilkenny or... No Limerick or Kilkenny or Kerry or Dublin.
Okay, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
The defining teams of the...
Of the last 25 years. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's great. It is great. And it's like, I think, so our colleagues at Red FM are involved in the viewing party. The tickets sold in 40 minutes, 15,000 tickets gone. And this is for people to go and watch the game in Páirc Uí Chaoimh. So there's nothing quite like the mobilisation of the Cork hurling fans that we've seen. And notwithstanding that, then this Clare team have an incredible story where they've got two generational hurlers playing. Now, it's fair to say Shane O'Donnell is at the absolute peak of his powers, but Tony Kelly hasn't quite yet been fully fit. But there's a possibility that Tony Kelly scores 11 points this weekend.
I felt like in the semi-final you were almost watching Tony Kelly play himself into this year's championship.
Yeah.
By the second half, I was like, Tony Kelly has arrived.
Yeah, and so good timing.
I wasn't that happy about it as it happened.
You couldn't begrudge this Clare team who have been so close in recent years and have put in great performances and then have been somewhat let down when they get to Croke Park. And this year it looked like the pattern was repeating and then they dug themselves out of the hole. So, having said that, Cork, the surge, the goals, the speed, the colour, it's great. It's genuinely great. Like, watching Limerick be great over recent years has been a stunning thing to see a county that isn't a traditional superpower get everything to coalesce at the same time. But, like... they need rivals and they need rivalry and they need teams to put it up to them. And in recent years, it felt like they were always just so far superior that they weren't put to the pin of their collar, and then Cork put them to the pin of their collar and beat them twice this year. So,
yeah, I know. I'm really, really looking forward to it. And it's interesting from the semi-finals, the job of work that management have to do, because I assume Pat Ryan's job is just like, lads, repeat the semi-final. Whereas Brian Lowen is, lads, if we repeat the semi-final, we could be better at the gate by half-time.
Yeah.
Sure, because that's, people in Kilkenny would feel they still could have won that match. Despite the great digging out Clare did in all half-time, they kind of left it behind them in the first half. They should have been 10 points clear at half-time.
Yeah.
And that's a reflection of just Clare being so poor in those opening exchanges. And if they do that in the All-Ireland,
well,
and Cork start like they did in their semi-final,
yeah,
forget about it.
And Cork will score a lot of goals early and often. The thing is that those semi-finals, no one really remembers too much what happens in a semi-final after you've won a final.
But it's more the job of work, I guess, that both counties are probably doing behind the scenes.
Yeah, maybe. But do you want to have that mad outpouring in a semi-final and everybody feel like, oh, that's incredible? Or do you want to come off going, geez, we got away with one there, we've got to knuckle down here? The first training session in Clare is different from the first training session in Cork.
Because the answer to that question depends on who wins on Sunday.
Totally.
You know what I mean?
I suspect it's easier, though, if you're the manager to go in and say, right, you're going to do that again? Or like, okay, I know everybody's very excited and you're getting measured for your suits and the tickets is a big thing, but like, what was it that we did that got us in the frame of mind to go up against this Limerick team? You need to repeat that. It's harder to fake that.
Yeah. So anyway, that is happening Sunday. We all look forward to it. The golf as well, there's a good chance that we're going to be glued to that on Sunday, a lot of us, because Shane Lowry
posted a clubhouse score of 7 under. That is the target for everybody to chase all afternoon. So you get into the clubhouse and you hope that you pray to the rain gods. You get whatever voodoo you have available and you start sticking the needle in it. But look, it's incredible from Lowry's perspective, because you've got to go out and defend a score after the first round of the Open, and he managed it today. He had a double bogey on his card and he bounced back and he ends up birdieing the last to have a second round 69. And we know he can do it. He is the ultimate big time Charlie when it comes to these things. Like, yeah, yeah. His juices get flowing when the stakes ratchet up, and it's brilliant.
Yeah, he's also box office to watch. I mean, he's not one of these players as well. When he gets out in front, he's like hitting every fairway and in the dead center of every green, bullseye.
No,
like yesterday evening in the first round, I mean, he was from one side of the fairway to the other, and it was great.
Yeah,
great entertainment. Not for him, maybe.
It's the leaderboard is coalescing. There are definitely some golfers who you're going to have to Google, but then the rest of the ones who we expect to be up around him. So you know, it was his third round at the Open at Portrush, which I think is probably the greatest individual Irish sports performance of all time, where he just decimates the field. Like, it's right up there with anything that any other individual has ever done, ever in Irish sports. And so tomorrow, if you could do something similar, that would make us, we could be able to flick for those people who are...
You'd be able to relax a little on Sunday. Then listen, before we wrap things up, which school are you in when it comes to Tiger Woods? As in, just keep going as long as you can, you've earned the right, or, please stop, this is a car crash, I can't watch it anymore.
No, keep going. He a very early birdie yesterday, when everybody was like, oh my God, he couldn't, could he? And obviously he couldn't.
And they were right, he couldn't.
They were correct. But like his...
Oh, I don't know.
His recovery...
It's hard to watch.
There's going to be an Open where he competes the way... I think Tom Watson was 63 or 64 when Harrington beat him. And... the weather gets bad.
No, Harrington, it was Stuart Sink who pipped Tom Watson, wasn't it? Remember, they went to a playoff, yeah.
That's well remembered.
Yeah.
But he was ancient at that stage.
Oh, he was, yeah.
Yeah.
That's the important thing, not who peeped him,
exactly,
but how
exactly
ancient he was.
And so Woods is another 15, 20 years where he could still rock up and pitch and putt his way around one of these very difficult courses when the wind blows like that.
Okay, maybe. Gerard Gilroy, enjoy the weekend, and we will talk to you again next week.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.